A very good morning to you, Namibia. A very good morning to you, my dear listener. Thanks for joining us at this morning. Our time is 2 minutes past the hour of 8. And thank you very much, Mr. David. Thank you very much, Mr. David, for handing over the mic to the biggest studio in this part of the world, the Eagle FM studio in the Ondangwa. So, welcome. Welcome. Good morning. It's a Wednesday morning, the 11th of March. So, how many days left before? It's only about 10 days before we celebrate the independence. So, welcome. How are you this morning? So, how are you doing this morning? So, hopefully, you are ready for the day. You're ready to take on the day, and thanks for joining, and thanks for joining us at this point in time. And it's always a pleasure for us to be in your company. So, my name is Mike Oshovedi, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what actually, of what is really going on in business, what is going on in terms of business, economic news, and politics. So every weekday, we come here. So, and we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always being curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect of those Eagle FM. So here we unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your platform. This is your space to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So a very good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. So what we do, as we do it every day, what we do, we look at history. We look at on this day, what happened on this day in Africa? What is the significant, any other significant event that happened on this day that made our history? So, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to our listener across the continent and beyond. So, you are tuned into On This Day in Africa, where we take a look back at the moment that shaped our history. So, today is March 11th. And what a day it has been across the years. So let's take a journey through the time. So we begin in the mountain kingdom of Lesotho. March 11, 1870 marked a solemn day, the passing of King Moshoeshoe I. Now, if you know your history, you know this was no ordinary leader. Moshoeshoe was the man who brought together different Sotho-speaking peoples and built the Basotho nation. So he did this during times of great turmoil, where there was at that time there was war, colonial power expanding across the land, and yet he found a way to unite his people. So his wisdom and diplomacy are still celebrated today. So actually this day is also known as actually in Lesotho as Moshoeshoe Day. So the father of a nation laid to rest on this day. Moving forward to 1959, Ghana, the first sub-Saharan African nation to gain independence. So on this day, the parliament passed what became known as the preventive Detention Act under Prime Minister Kwame Nkrumah. So the law gave authority the power to detain people without putting them on trial. Now, this stirred up a lot of debate. Now, supporters said it was needed to protect the young nation because it just got independent by then. And critics argue it threatened the very freedom Ghanaians have fought for. So it was a turning point that shaped Ghana's early years and spark conversation about civil liberties that still echoes, in Ghana today. So now let's jump to 1990, a year that changed the face of Southern Africa. Nelson Mandela had just walked out of prison after 27 years, and on March 11th, he was elected deputy president of the African Nation Congress. Now, this was huge. Mandela was stepping into formal leadership, and the world watched as South Africa began its long walk towards democracy. Now, the man who had been a prisoner was now helping to lead the charge for freedom. And here is another milestone from that same year, March 11th, 1990. Namibia adopted its constitution. Just 10 days later, the country would celebrate full independence from South Africa. A new nation was being born, and its founding document, that held as one of the best in the world, so was signed on this day. 6 years earlier, in 1985, March 11 saw fighting intensified in Angola's civil war. The MPLA government and UNITA rebels were locked in a conflict that drew in other nations and became part of of the large Cold War. The effect ripple across Southern Africa, lives lost, community displaced, and region caught in the middle of global power struggle. And before we sign off, let us note that March 11 is also a World Plumbing Day. Yes, you heard that right. It is World Plumbing Day. So it may not be battles and treaties, but plumbing plays a vital role in public health and sanitation across our continent. So clean water, proper sanitation, these are the foundation of a healthy communities. It's World Plumbing Day today. So that's our look back at March 11 in African history. So thank you for tuning in to this day in Africa. All right. And our time is about 10 minutes past the hour of 8. If you're just joining us, welcome. Well, you just missed the history, that shape our continent, but you're just in to catch the thought for the day. Good morning. Thought for the day for unpacking the day. Now, hate is like a fire. It burns the one who holds it. So hate is like a fire. It burns the one who holds it. Now, the proverb means that when you carry hatred inside you, you end up hurting yourself more than anyone else. So think about it this way. When you keep anger, bitterness, or revenge in your heart, it eats away at your peace of mind. Now, you spend time thinking about the person who hurt you, replaying the situation again and again. That emotional heat can make you stress, unhappy, and even affect your health. So, and psychology often explains that holding on to resentment and anger can increase stress and harm mental well-being. So the proverb is warning us, hatred is like holding a burning flame in your own hand. You think you are keeping it to throw at someone else, but before you even get the chance, it is already burning you. So the lesson is simple. Letting go of hatred is not about pretending nothing happened. It's about protecting your own peace and refusing to let anger control your life. So, whatever then choices and decision you make today, make sure that you protect your own peace and refuse to let anger control your life. So, that's our thought for the day. Hate is like a fire, and it burns the one who holds it. So, welcome. Welcome. So it's a Wednesday morning, and we get a lot to discuss about. We have a lot to talk about because there's so many things that are happening around the world. So many things that are happening around the world. So what we can discuss today, what we can unpack together this morning, yeah. So what making headlines in our today is Wednesday, and the Villagers edition is out already. Make sure that you get a copy of that. So, and if you are looking for latest business and economic news, get yourself a free copy of the Villager by simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44. 081-241-44, and be sure to save that number because we don't want to become whatever it's a spam to you. So the Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So get yourself subscribe yourself by just doing that, and you will be receiving your digital copy. A free copy of the Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, what we have on the menu this morning, as I said, the story that actually making the front page is that despite growing its loan portfolio and profits, the National Housing Enterprise, NHE, is facing government criticism for its slow pace of housing delivery, so which actually fall far short of the national target. So we're going to look at that story. We looked at the story yesterday, housing story yesterday, but let's consolidate with that one as well. So we're going to get into that story. And if we have time, we have another interesting one. So from the BBC, the story is that the repercussions of war in Iran extend far beyond the battlefield, now triggering now an unprecedented global energy shock that threatened to impact everyday consumers, specific industries, and also political stability worldwide. So we're going to look at that as well. And then, well, as usual, your participation will also be part of the show. So you're most welcome to come through with your thought, with your reaction, with your contribution, with, you know, everything that you have. So welcome. So when we get back, we get into our first story. Stay tuned.
Omu tiha wote kiro chaguna i matina omjo chika osha fa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshi wana i moya o ota ingongo tisa mwene ana ge shifa ya Namibia ompito mbwa na wa onjika seisa nina omayaguro nirandi toma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo ikelefe media house ngoe tuende pimemeha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yo mo programa letu Moambo, dengera selma, kodara heta tuimu. Datu, hea rihamano tano, on Yachi. Eagle FM, your eye. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. Our time is about 18 minutes past the hour of 8. And I will take you all the way to 10 o'clock. I will be with you all the way to 10 o'clock until 10 o'clock. So, and we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio from the mighty region of Oshana region. So, 10 o'clock, then I will be handing over to Mbarangaja. Matikoka Pofi, you know, who will be coming with Kufamosha around 10 o'clock. So, welcome, welcome, and good morning. So, welcome to Unpacking the Day. Now, before I get into the story, before I get into it, now, let me ask you something. Now, look your neighborhood, okay? Look around your neighborhood. Not around. Just look your neighborhood. Look around you right now, or you could be at work. Okay. Just look around you now. How many people do you know? All right. How many people do you know? A relative, a colleague? Yeah. You could be work also. Look at the people you're working with. Okay. So a colleague or a neighbor who is still renting backyard, could be renting a backyard shack. Or still sleeping in a zinc structure. Okay, this is not judging. We are not judging. It's not judging. We just want to reflect a reality here. Still waiting for their return. I mean, still waiting for their 10. Okay, maybe you're still waiting for your 10 of getting a house. Okay? And if you are nodding, and I can see that you're nodding your head, then this story is definitely, definitely your. Is definitely for you. So, all right. So, let's put ourselves in that context. How that many of us, as we look at yourself around now, many of you could be renting. You could be actually, let's not talk about those who are in their parents' house. Okay? So, where are you? So, where are you? Are you in a backyard shack? Doesn't have to be really a shack. Could be that you're in a backyard, you know, flat or whatever, you know, of someone. You're sleeping in a zinc structure, or you're still actually waiting, and as you're renting, you're still waiting for your house, for your tent to get, you know, a plot, eh? So to get an elf where you can now be able to build. So, as I said, if this is you, if this is reflecting your situation, then this is the story that we need to look at. It is the front page of the Villager this morning, and it's a story by Hinomina Valiangala. So, yeah, before we get into there, let me give you context. Now, maybe where are we coming from in terms of who is actually NHE and why does it exist? Sometimes it's always good to understand where we're coming from, to understand why maybe the minister or the president is complaining or is, you know. So let me give you some context here. Back in 1993, okay, in 1993, yes, just 3 years after Namibia's independence, our government created the National Housing Enterprise, National Housing Enterprise, the NHE, the famous NHE. Now, the idea was simple and noble. You remember that at the beginning now, okay? So build, and this is, underline this, build affordable house for ordinary Namibians, okay? That was the simple, that was the idea. Build affordable house for ordinary Namibian, low income and middle income. The people the private bank wouldn't touch. Okay? These are the people, low income, middle income. The private bank wouldn't touch those ones. So this is where you're focusing. That was the mandate. That was the promise. All right? So, fast forward more than 30 years. And in all that time, the NRG has built approximately, in all that time, 30 years, 18,300 houses across the country. That sounds like a big number until until you realize that Namibia housing backlog, the backlog is estimated at 300,000 unit. How much have we have so far built? 18,300 over 30 years. Over 30 years, 18,300 houses. So, and the estimate, the backlog estimate is 300,000 unit. And to fix it now to fix that, we need to spend close to 76 billion to fix that. So that tells us where we are and what we need to actually get you a home. Remember where you are? You're renting behind. You're renting behind, or you are still in a zinc structure. So we need 76 billion to get you out there. Or to get you out, to get you off the list. Okay? 76 billion, that's what we need to get you off the list. 3 decades of work, and we are still actually just scratching the surface. Just scratching the surface. That is the story. That is the crisis. That is the crisis that we are in. Now, last week, the NHE held its annual general meeting, the AGM, its AGM. And on the report, on the surface, the numbers look decent, okay? The number look very, very, very decent. The energy has grown in housing loan book by 3.6%, and that's now over 1.1 billion. Now, profit jumped from 6 million to 23 million. 3 consecutive years of audited financial report. Well, entity also secure 1.5 billion in funding from the Development Bank of Southern Africa. So, now, that's not nothing, okay? Is that English? That is not nothing. You can't use not and nothing in the same sentence. That is not nothing. Yeah, that is not nothing. I mean, that is something. Let's more put it in that way, you know? So the profit jumped from 6 million to 23 million. You know, that's something. 3 consecutive years of audited financial report. Well, that's something. It's something that commonly doesn't happen to many of our SOEs, you know, and the entity has also secured a 1.5 billion in funding from Development Bank of Southern Africa. That's something. That's why I say that is not nothing. So that is financial discipline. You can see they institute some kind of financial discipline. That is institutional maturity. You can see that there's a little bit of maturity in NHE and credit where credit is due. So NHE has been working on its governance and its compliance and its financial health. So you can see that really there's a difference. So we give credit where it's due. All right. But where the story takes us, here is also where now the story takes a sharp turn. All right? That story also takes a very, 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 very sharp turn. All right? So, the Minister of Urban and Rural Development, James Sankwasa, Mr. Sankwasa, stood up at that AGM. He stood up at that AGM, essentially said, congratulations on the money, giving Jim some kind of lap. Okay, congratulations on the money. You know, they secured that loan of 1.5 billion and also they make profit of 23 million. You know, he said, well, congratulations on the money. But where are the houses? Where are the houses, you know? So congratulations, but where are the houses? Yeah, you should have seen this, you know? So where are the houses? All right, that's my future president. I have already elected the president, the future president. So that's my future president. So he said, well, congratulations on the money, but where are the houses? And it's the central question, actually, this morning. So that's the central question this morning. Where are the houses? So just listen to this, okay? In the 2024-2025 financial year, okay? In the 2024-2025 financial year, a full tour. Why don't someone, finance people, tell us, okay? Well, I have a certificate in finance, but okay. I want to know why. I know some of it, but why your finance? Why can't we just have like in the 2025 financial year? Why do we always go to other month in the other year so that now you have 2024-2025 financial year? You know, why don't you just, we start from January, we end in December. We start from January. Simple. So it's not yet the end of financial year. So why make some things complicated? I don't understand. All right. That's beside the point. But I'm just, in the 2024-2025 financial year, a full 12 months, the NHE built just 191 houses. 191 houses. That's across the five towns. Across five towns. Now, in a country that need hundreds of thousands of homes, only 191. Now, the government, the thing is that the government's own target for this current financial year, the 2024-2025 financial year, the government's target of this, of that year is 2,000. It's 2,000 units. It's 2,000 houses. So you see, they only build 191 houses, but the target for that year is 2,000. And the minister was blunt. He said at 191 houses a year, you will never reach 2,000. You will never reach 2,000 units. And he called it is a snail pace. He called it a snail pace. It's not even a snail pace. 191 compared to the target, that's not a snail pace. Eh? So, well, honestly, he was being polite, I think. He was definitely being polite. So he could have said something worse. And he doesn't mince his words sometimes. So he can say whatever he wants. So you see, 191, that was the target for 2024-2025. I mean, the target was 2,000, and how many we have created. And this is the funny thing, all right? Sometimes we don't pay much attention. Tell me, what is the target for in our priority in NDP6 a year? Okay? What is the target a year? Is 10,000 unit. Is 10,000 unit. In the NDP6, we should be building a 10,000 houses a year in any financial year. We are planning to build actually 50,000, you know, from when they took over to 2030. Okay? 10,000 every year. So, now, check that. 10,000 is our in our priority. It is in our priority. It's in our NDP6. That's the target. Now, in our financial, in our budget, like the budget of 2024-2025 budget, it was 2,000. Why didn't they make it 10,000? I mean, 10,000 as it is NDP6. So it is 2,000. And how much did we reach? It's 191. We are so far, you know. What does that say? What does that tells you, really? What does that say? There's so much disconnect. I don't understand, my dear listeners. You know, the energy is making money here. Now we're looking at this. Let's look at this, and then we can come to that later on. Now, energy is making money. Its loan book is growing. But the very people it was created to serve. This is now the people that it was created to serve. The low-income earners, the shack dwellers, the backyard tenant, you, are still waiting. Are still waiting. And ask yourself, what is a housing enterprise for if it's in delivering houses? What is it for if it's not delivering houses? They were meant to deliver. Now, 2,000 and only 191. 8,000, you know, about 8,000. They couldn't, if you could have said they delivered 8,000 and it's only about 100 and something that they haven't, that you could understand. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Now, let's dig a little bit deeper. So, let's ask them the question, who they actually have. Let's look at this problem. Who is NHG really serving? Who are they serving? Now, the Minister Sankwasa, my future president, make it a very pointed observation. So he said that the NHG is perceived to be serving mainly a middle to upper income Namibians. And that perception matter. Why? Because perception in government delivery often is a reality. Often is a reality. And here are the facts. Here are the facts that support that concern. According to the minister himself, 87.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter. All right. Welcome back. Okay. We're back. So there is that perception that the energy is actually serving mainly middle to upper income Namibians. And the minister actually support that concern. So the minister said, according to the minister himself, 87.5% of Namibian who need housing are low income earners. People earning an average of around 10,000 a month or less. So these are the ultra lower and lower income brackets. The overwhelming majority. So meanwhile, right now, more than 600,000 Namibians, that is 41.6% of our urban population, are living in informal settlement. No proper sanitation, no security of tenure, no dignity. You know that song? And no diggity. All right. So, more than 600,000 Namibians, 41.6% of our urban population, they are in former settlement. So, and yet, the energy is growing loan book, its fastest growing business, from what we have seen, cater largely to those who already have the stable incomes and can serve a mortgage. So that perception is true, as the president, as the minister actually said. And the poorest of poor, the poorest of the poor, they don't qualify for a loan. And so the NHG's financial success is being built in part by moving away from the people it was created to serve. It's absolutely moving away from the people it was created to serve. So that, my friend, is a structural contradiction. It is not unique to energy. It is a feature of how housing policy has evolved across Africa. And when development institutions start chasing financial sustainability, who actually suffer? Who are actually left behind? The poorest get left behind. Because what do they, these institutions do? They are chasing financial sustainability. So they want to make money. And who is left behind? It's the poor. And now it's not doing what it's meant to do. Now, I want you to bring in another dimension that the minister touched on, which we touched on yesterday as well, which is something that we, you and I talked about yesterday. And it doesn't get nearly enough attention, okay, when it comes to housing. Land, 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 land. And Sankwasa, Minister Sankwasa, Mr. Sankwasa acknowledged that affordable land is one of the biggest obstacles. He even went as far as saying that land currently occupied by resident in informal settlement, and I'm applauding this, really, and I want them to push that, so that land currently occupied by resident in informal settlement should be allocated to those residents at no cost, should be given to them for free, so they can build their own decent shelter. That's what the minister said. And that is actually a significant statement. I hope it shouldn't be just something he's saying to, normally he means what he says. So it's not just something to make him look good, but it should be something he should be pushing, you know. So I wish that's something that that he can push. All right. So it's a very important, it's a very significant statement. Very, very significant, significant statement. So why? Why? Because in Namibia, local authorities are custodian of the land. The local authorities are the custodian of the land. And for years, we have seen a mismatch. Energy can have funding, can have plans, can have building capacity. But if local council are slow to save land and release plot, well, housing delivery actually come to a standstill. The reason why it comes to a standstill, it's because exactly that. On the other side, energy can have the funding, can have the plans, can have all what they can have the capacity. But if the local council are not actually servicing the land and release the plot, that's where we are. That's the reasons why we are where we are. Housing delivery become something we just hear, you know. It's something we just hear. It's not something we don't. It's not something we see. It's just something we hear. You know, really? Even you get even surprised. Really? Yeah. You know, that's like, you know, it's like it's like trying to build a fire without wood, you know. So the land bottleneck is real, and the minister is talking about it, and it is one of the most underreported barrier to solving this crisis. It's one thing that is really underreported, that is in solving actually this crisis. So under the government, under the government's 6th National Developing Plan, NDP 6 for 2025 to 2030. Now, do you remember what I said earlier on? The target is to save about 10,000 even. So under the NDP 6. Service 10,000 even and build 10,000 affordable homes. Underline the word affordable. I don't know what is affordable in Namibia. What do we mean by affordable, really? Yesterday, we were talking about the house that was built in 2 years, in 2 days, which will cost actually about 50,000. That's just costing to build that. But how much would it cost you to buy it? There's a difference. There's a difference between what it costs to build and what they will charge you when you're buying it. So, yeah. So, we also, the target was 10,000 affordable homes every single year. That is 50,000 houses in 5 years. So, that's what this Meme Netumbo's administration's, that's what their target, that make sure by the time we come to the end of our administration, 50,000 houses in 5 years must have been built. Now, to disappoint Meme Netumbo, in 1 year, you know what, the target, and this is what I was talking earlier on, that the target in our national, in our NDP 6 is actually 10,000, okay? So the budget, the target in the budget is 2,000. Now from 10,000 now to 2,000. What we were capable to build is just 191. 191. What do you say? I want us to talk about what do you say really about that? Who is talking? We're not talking to each other. Somewhere we're not talking to each other. First of all, maybe we also don't know the capacity that we have. So when we're setting up 10,000 a year, probably we were not very clear. We are not too sure. We were not really aware of the capacity that we have. Secondly, we were not aware of the money we have. So we were just doing it. And sometimes that's why we need data. Yeah? We need data so that when we set goals, we know exactly. They are evidence driven. They are evidence driven. It's not just wake up and okay. What would be the nice number? You know, that would attract people that would think, wow. That's nice. Eh? What is the number we can choose that would really, you know, make people feel something is not, where's mine? All right. That would make, you know, people feel, wow, that's a good number. That's a good number. Without any reference to, without having any data or evidence, you know, whether this is realistic or not. So, yeah, that's probably that what we do. So, and that's why we have this, how do you call this? We have this, our budget, we only budget for 2,000 houses, but our target is 10,000 in our development plan. But what can we manage? We only manage 191. Ooh. Are we able going to fit? Are we able to get the 50,000 houses, Meme Netumbo? So let's have these people do what they need to do, or let's give the money. Let's put in the money if we need to. Now compare that now to Energy 191 houses last year, and the gap is not just a gap; it is a chasm. Something called a chasm. It's not a gap. It's, I don't know. Wouldn't you even, how would you Now, if somebody haven't lived up to that, you imagine what all this, you're setting up, you put up all this priority because you believe we can achieve it. And then someone achieved just 191. Is it that? Suckable? Is that not a suckable, you know, it's not that's a suckable reason? Is that not a suckable reason where we said, look, you are way far, you are way too far to what we have actually to what we plan, to what we to what we are, to what our priorities are. You are incapable. Eh? You are absolutely incapable. So it's a suckable. It's a suckable performance, really. Now, let me offer you my reading on this situation, because I have watched this story for many years. All right. First, the energy's financial improvement is really a good thing and should be acknowledged. All right. So because we have so many SOEs that really drown in debt and financial mismanagement and all that. So a state enterprise that is financially disciplined, transparent, and producing audited report is better than one that is not. All right. So that's one thing we should be, we should acknowledge, and the foundation matter, really. Okay. But second, financial health without delivery is hollow. Okay. Where is the delivery? That's why the minister said, okay, congratulations on the money, but where are the houses? So the NHE was not created to be a profitable bank. It was not created to be a profitable bank. It was created to put roof over people's head. When profit triple, you know, while houses construction stays at 191 unit, at 191 unit, something has gone wrong in terms of mission focus. Something has gone wrong, definitely. All right? Thirdly, the minister is right to be frustrated. The minister is right to be frustrated, but government also needs to look in the mirror. The government also needs to look in the mirror. Service land is controlled by local authorities. Local authorities, which are government structures. These are government structures. Funding bottleneck, slow approval of building plans. You know, 490 building plans were approved by local authorities in the last year. But how many were actually built? Government cannot criticize energy while also being the bottleneck at the same time. So, and the issue of who housing is targeting is fundamental. It's fundamental. If the energy is structurally incentivized to lend to those who can repay, it will continue drifting away from the ultra poor. This is not a management failure. That is a policy design failure. Government need to be honest about that as well. All right? So, now, what do you think? There's something, I don't know whether you can, this is very clear. Am I very clear, loud enough on your side? Okay, so.
Omutiha, utekirota guna, imatina, omjo. Chikao shafa sanana, nalongi shifa, ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongo tisamweni. Anange shifa, ya Namibia, ombitombo na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandipoma yoe, yonge shifa yoe kupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omupashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma kodarahe tatuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. So, yeah. What do you think? All right. What is your take of this? Do come through. Our telephone, I'm opening up my line now. Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091. So the energy is financially healthier than it has been in years. So, and growing loan book, growing profit, and that is actually a good thing. But 191 houses in a year. Oh man, that's not good enough. All right. Okay, let's get to the caller. A very good morning to you.
Yes, that's Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm all right, my brother.
Am I very clear on air?
Yeah, yeah, very much.
Oh, okay, okay. No, that's good.
Mm. Yeah, we can hear very power in window.
Okay, good. All right.
Yeah. You said they built how many houses?
191 houses. And you know, the budget target, the budget was budgeted for 2000 a year, like 2024, 2025. Budget for 2000, they only built 191.
Just imagine.
And the NDP, the NDP six target was actually 10,000 houses a year.
You know what I'm thinking of, Mike? What I'm thinking is that, NHG is moving also toward what, like these people who are private property individuals, let's say, and so on.
Yeah, the private developers.
So, yeah, because what I'm saying, so, even their house now, they are too expensive. Yeah. A lot of people cannot afford it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
And that was not the mandate. The mandate actually was to build the affordable house for the low income and middle income.
I'm telling you. That's why I'm saying, in Namibia, I don't know who's come to our aid. Mm. Even the things with the process that they have been created to meet the halfway of the what people are not cannot afford. It's now also they are being driven for profit making.
Yeah.
Look here, man. If you look at NHA, they're supposed to be first priority when you come into the local authority, well over in the and around Namibia town.
Yeah.
Because now look, what they do now, especially the local authority, they give even in the service land, which the property developer, they're able to buy it without even services, it's like they can service themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, now they're doing it this, and they give it to those people, and those people, they start, without even adding any value. Sometimes they even, like, you remember the academia, which I'm giving example, where the property, the auction, which take place in window. And it's where I think it is from everybody.
Yeah.
Where the people for China are coming out, like, no, this is not the way it's supposed to be. I'm telling you, those auction which take place in the academia, the new place, it was like the cheapest place, I think maybe it was around 800 something. The property was 800 something, which is cheapest. Most of them, they are what? 1.5?
Yeah.
2.1? Just going like that. That's making.
Yeah.
Okay, if you are buying a rent for 1.5, what are you going to build with?
Yeah, no, I mean, that money goes, if it goes in 1.5, where do you gonna get money actually to build?
To build.
Who gonna give you money? I mean, who gonna give you that money again? Why haven't paid the money that you bought the rent? I mean, the elf.
And now people are saying, we cannot be compared to Dubai, but this reality what is you are facing, because remember, if you are in the second, following Dubai, the most expensive city to live in.
Mm.
But Dubai, if you are look, there's Hollywood people, they start with their retired soccer players, and the tennis, what you name it, the sports people,
yeah,
movie people, and so on. They are the ones who are occupying Dubai.
Yeah.
But now we are here, and there's no job in Namibia, but you are having expensive city to live in.
Mm.
That's the problem I think we have. Because look here, I think the Sangwasa what he's doing, we need to support him 100%.
Yeah, no, definitely.
There will be more. Yeah, these people of property developer, they might just step aside.
Yeah.
Then even also NHA, they need to be dismantled. Because remember, people who have been there for so long, some of them, even if you go down in the NHA and then you look what they've been doing, they're in Kahuku if those who are property developers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're doing the same. It's just like what you call these sack dwellers. Sack dwellers, they're not doing the people justice anymore. They get the rent, and they make it even rent more expensive to those ordinary members who are contributing. Mm.
Yeah, and this is what the minister said. He said, look, I mean, give the land to the people who have been there for free. Yeah.
Give it that deed, my friend. So that they can, so the people can build themselves. Because,
yeah.
Mike, if you're having a calculator now, I can give you a cost of what? The material.
Yeah.
It's not even going to end up at the 50.
Definitely.
I'm telling you,
yeah.
It's not a beautiful house. You can make it with 50,000 or 40 or 35 even.
Hmm.
Because if you look, the bricks are just 800.
Yeah.
That block of bricks, 800. And if you make it them like maybe 20,
yeah,
it's already enough for two bed room house.
Yeah, no, you won't
build it instead of anything.
And you won't build. You won't spend 30 or 40. You know, it will be far, far, far cheaper.
Far, far, far. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If you look at the Anjing is like a 12. They are just somewhere around 350, 370 somewhere there. Yeah, but they cannot even go to 10,000 if you are buying. They will be like, maybe if you are buying them, let them say 12 of them, 12, it will cost you like maybe somewhere around even 8,000 or somewhere around there.
That's why that's even someone yesterday.
Material to build are cheap. The problem of which we have is municipality which is not giving us this. That's the reality. And it is what I think our position, they need to start screaming out of their rank. Because the moment you give a title deed to people, they will build a beautiful house.
Yeah, no, even yesterday when we were talking about that that cheap houses that we were talking about yesterday, you know, someone said that, but actually we can even build cheaper than that, you know, with bricks.
Yeah. Serious,
yeah. A two-bedroom, you can build it cheaper than that with bricks. Yeah.
Michael, it's not a joke. Okay, we're going to get 800. Yeah, brick.
Yeah.
You can choose what color you want.
Mm.
And total, which are, as I mean, you know, 120.
Yeah.
That, sometimes they even find it like 110 when they are on sale. Or 100, or sometimes even 100, or 90 even. That time.
Yeah.
The whole structure to build.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Windalo, Unima, Ushige, or Totragone, Nanding, Pamuguta, Pamutakarane, Lafarin, on Julian English, or Totra Mutias, which is another box or Nege, or is it a little more money or 200? Come on. No.
No, the thing is this, and, you know, I have a house outside of Monkunda, outside of Ofongwediva, you know?
Yeah.
And you know all those people who came, because now that becomes a town, and people come and getting the plot there. A lady close to me, you know, someone who actually bought a plot next to my house. In 2 years, one thing that what they did, they started actually just making bricks. Immediately they bring up water, they get the water, and then they start, the first thing that they built is their own toilet, you know?
Yeah.
Then they made, in 2 years, then they started actually making bricks. From there, they were able to build the house. Within a period of 2 years.
Yeah.
You know? So, and you can see that couldn't have cost actually more than 50,000. Couldn't, you know? Yeah.
This is what I'm doing with the mega material again, Angelo.
No.
Nothing, I mean, 10 days, I'm going to be able to talk about Nintendo.
Yeah.
Elipchanela.
Yeah.
Oh, do not believe how they get 200, 250, 270. Oh, where did you go Elipchanela?
Yeah.
Katnandilo. Talo, she must be watching on the local building. Yango up to work for another 100,000. My friend,
I know a 3-bedroom or 4-bedroom. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's land. The minister talked about it. That's the problem. The biggest problem is land.
Yeah? It's land.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not about the it's not about housing in terms of.
My car, even to make it the meta worse, do you have all service?
Yeah.
What is stopping municipality? Yeah. Kucha over Tokaranga, Tokaranga, Tarundu Legan, which I is, which I know popular space, or Pate, Unga, Unga.
In Baker land, I had to get
you. They are just playing on the people feeling.
Yeah, they want to build a house there, and then they charge you a lot of money. That's why people, they houses are built, and people don't go in because they cannot afford it. You saw that
they
in Wabish Bay.
Okay, if you are burning independence, you've been working after independence. Then now, how old are you supposed to be now? In the waiting list. Yeah. When are you going to get your house? Maybe you are just having like, 15 years to work? Or 20 years to work.
You were working.
To finish off that house.
You were working and you're not working anymore.
Yeah, you are working. Yeah, now
you could have been retired now.
5 years. Yeah, but you've been that list for
20 years. Yeah, you've been there for 20 years. So.
No man, no.
O tu kufakwe ke kolista ave mwe nesaji na ndenge no okuti wet.
O
tu kapunari hope.
Aye.
By this time, my friend, when you are told, hey, now you can build.
I like some of the ways advocating it. That's the only way.
That's why
if you are getting the title, the people, even our kids who are coming from now, finishing university, they're able to have your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. But seriously, my friend, just imagine a land costing 1.75 without it, nothing, there's nothing.
Yeah.
Hey, No. Anyway, Michael, let me give other people a chance.
All right. Thanks for coming through.
All right, my brother.
Great. 08-333-66091, 08-333-66091. What is your take? What is your reaction? What is your contribution? And, energy, is financially, as I said earlier on. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Familia.
Good morning. Bon dia.
Como estás, Ali?
Non te problem.
I see. These days, you want us to to call more.
I'm just following the stories. I'm just following the stories that are making headlines. You know
that not me.
Yeah.
If you can go knock on a kelly modi and they are up when
yeah.
In a time no good Japan Mokuri now, I'm going to
I'm just following the stories.
I'm just on the phone.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Doesn't know I'm busy. The phone. Yeah. You know that make where you are doing well.
Yeah.
You are touching the right, because if you don't talk about it, people think maybe we are happy, our people are doing well. Because you know, you are not talking about it, but the way you are doing it is very good.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a good thing. But, you are talking about, energy, né?
Yeah.
So now, just think about yourself, okay, who's the problem here now? We are not against the energy to build houses, you can do it. But, what about the poor? Because this house is my brother. You won't access this house if you don't have a pay slip.
Yeah.
As Mandume said there, I've been working maybe for for 10 years. Now I have only 5 years left.
Yeah.
Or maybe 3 years left.
And you have been on the list. Yeah.
And forgetting me to qualify of this in this house because my years are getting finished.
Yeah.
So now, when we talk about the Shattered Dollar Federation and other systems, which you can get a house in a cheaper price.
Hmm.
Yesterday I say about estate captures.
Yeah.
Mm. Why energy is qualifying or is getting a green light to have a land to build houses? Why these companies which are building a cheaper house for the poor, they cannot get that access.
Yeah.
The problem here, brother. Think about it. Who's the problem here?
Yeah, but the other things that we need to look at is also that, as I said, well, the government also has to look at self in the mirror because sometimes energy can have all, they can have the money, they can have the capacity, they can have the plan and all that. But if they don't have the land, where they can build, because that's a custodian on the municipalities. Responsibility, and that's a government structure. So, service land is controlled by local authorities, which are government structures. So then they must also make sure that service land is available, for housing.
Yes, but now think about when the municipality, or I don't know either the government, thinking about only the profit. You don't care about humanity.
Mm.
You just care about the profit. So no, if there's a land which has been serviced, and I assure you, me and you, maybe you are from energy, I'm from shack dwellers.
Mm.
If you go there together with the same money, they won't give me that land. They'll give to energy. And for a poor somebody who doesn't have a better job to qualify houses energy, is very, very, very difficult, my brother.
Yeah.
Now, who is the state capture here? Why we? Because if you talk about eradication of poverty eradication, you must start with the house issue here. Start with the house issue. Give people houses.
Yeah.
If you are talking about eradicating poverty in the country, think about first the house issues. Now, people want to buy houses. Now, they want land to build their own.
Until we really solve the issue of land, we will never solve the issues of housing. We will never.
It's a long way to go.
The
papers are there to say no. There's money which are for the countrywide to build houses and whatnot. But when they will start with that system? When does that system?
Yeah.
You're just being forced to suffer.
Mm. And we need to start also talking about urban land, because much of the time had the focus resettlement and what has been always looking at the farm and commercial farm and communal farm. So we need actually now to start talking about urban land, and management of urban land. Yeah.
Yes. Because I know to build, you never build the final time to say, no, today I build, I'm done. No. Building is a system you can build until you die.
Yeah.
You don't finish building. Now, give people the title deed. Now, yesterday we speak about this kind of a cheaper house, which are 50,000. What? The one
now, Yeah.
Maybe you help, because in some countries they are doing the same thing. And people are happy, they are enjoying their life. You have a shelter where you sleep well. You are relaxed, you have your own toilet, you have your own water. You are tired of these things, my brother. You go to the queue, buy bread, I'm buying in the queue. Okay, go to get water, I'm doing the queue. Go to use the toilet, I'm having a running stomach, I'm going to the queue. Until when?
You don't even go to the queue anymore. You go to the bush.
This system to say, no, they build a 100 and something houses. Where? Just in the paper, like if you build maybe two million, one house, who gonna afford? I can afford. I won't afford that house.
Yeah.
Now, Now the people who are coming from university and it's okay, they can afford. But what about this one who they're not Namibian?
No, energy was not meant for that. It was meant for low income group, you know. Not for those that can actually have the private sector, the private bank, the banking, the private bank can actually finance.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think when they started with that political system, they changed it. If you go, there was I think last year there's some officials from energy, they were the Kuriangava shop and shop. People must go there and they want to quiet. Like, my brother, if you just go there, you won't even eat that thing. You feel so stressed. You say, man, why is this guy doing here? What? Are this meant to ask for poor people who are this location? Or these are for the people who are already well in their pocket. So until when we're gonna go on this system? They should get a service land for the people who are suffering.
Yeah,
and also those who are really care about the when it comes to our system of voting, they didn't even play with their heart. But when it comes to the service delivery, no, we build two houses. Who for who? We want a really proper service. People to have houses. People are really up to date. You won't even believe some all location right. Are there for 20 years.
All right.
10 years.
All right.
Years. No.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear from others as well. Okay.
Hold on.
Yeah. 0833-66091. 0833-66091. Housing crisis. Yeah, that's where we are. And but seriously, it's one thing that I'm trying to figure out. Is when you're looking at the target that we're setting for ourselves. Either we completely have no idea what we're doing, or if we do and it's guided by evidence, then the performance is below par and it's a suckable performance. They deserve to be fired. Okay, we can't be saying the year we will be providing 10,000 houses, you know, in our NDP6. We will be providing 10,000 houses, and then comes now the year we're budgeting for 2,000. So we're only budgeting for 2,000. What we said we're going to provide 10,000 a year, and then we're budgeting for 2,000, and then the performance comes to now only 191. 191. Now, you can immediately looking at energy and said, the energy, oh, no, they didn't perform. Maybe they didn't get enough money. You understand? Maybe they didn't get enough money to actually perform, provide that amount that was a target. So, who is responsible for that? So, we can look at energy because we don't know how much the money they were given to be able to provide that amount of houses. Maybe what they have provided, they exactly did what they, with the amount that they were given. So that's why we need this transparency, accountability. We need to know because that's the only way we can hold, you know, someone accountable. Now we're looking at energy and said, yeah, energy, it hasn't performed. Then maybe that's the only money that they got and they spent all the money that they got. So from them, from their point of view, they have done what they needed to do. Well, I'm just putting a bigger context. I mean, that we need to look at this in much context. Or now they have the money, they have the capacity, and there's no land available. Now, who do you blame? Now, who do you blame? All right. 0833-66091. So do come through and have your opinion. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking Today.
Mr. Oshavili, how are you?
I'm fine and yourself, man.
I'm good. NHE and the 191,000 houses.
Yeah.
Sorry, 191 houses.
Yeah.
versus the target of 10,000 per year.
Versus the target of the budget, what was budgeted is actually 2,000. So, but the NDP 6 is 10,000 houses. Yeah.
So to me, we should ask ourselves, why are we missing the target?
Mm, exactly.
Because if you are in the private sector and you are missing the target, you know you are called to account.
Yeah.
For as to why you missed the target, what was the reason, and then the whole situation is assessed as to why you missed the target, and if it's by such a margin, why? Because that is actually poor work performance.
Exactly. That's why I said it's suckable. It's suckable. Yeah.
And if you are not performing, Mr. Oshoveli, you get out of the way and then we put somebody there that's able to deliver.
Mm.
Because you need to find out why is it that you missed the target. Was the landlord available?
Mm.
Was the particular town council or the municipal not providing you the particular the land that you needed? Or
yeah.
Why did you miss the target in
yeah.
the first place?
Yeah.
Because somebody needs to be held to account. Because the problem is this. When it comes to government and institution of government or that are actually linked to government, when people get job there, they know that it's safe for them to get a job there in the first place.
Mm.
That's why most everybody wants to get a government job, because they know that once you get into a government job, you will never be held to account.
Exactly.
There will be no disciplinary actions against you
yeah.
unless you actually have exacerbated you have transgressed so many times
mm.
that people can no longer work with you. But usually government institution and the government itself, this is a place where people go there for safe employment for a lifetime, because they know that I will never be held accountable.
Yeah.
So we need to start holding people accountable, and that is what Mr. Sanko, that's why most of the people actually of the town council, they're challenging Mr. Sankwato, because they were never actually challenged in that way before.
Yeah,
they were never held to account in the first place.
Exactly.
And they had the mentality that whether I mess up or not, I'm safe because I'm within an institution that belongs to the government.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to uproot those particular trees so that we can actually grow new ones.
Yeah.
Because this comfort that I am safe, whether I deliver or not, needs to be done away with.
Yeah. But the other thing also, the other things that I'm asking myself is that what drive, when we actually came up with the plan, like NDP6 and target, and our target of 10,000 houses, from what evidence, what data do we have that guide us to make that kind of target? Or we just wake up and said, well, 10,000, good number. Let's have that number. So maybe we have stretched ourselves to an extent where we don't have the capacity in terms of money and in terms of maybe personnel as well.
Because most of the time when we actually do because if you have an NDP, that's basically your plan.
Yeah.
Your blueprint for the particular period.
Mm.
So since you have that particular plan, you already have you already know how you are going to carry out the fulfillment of this particular plan.
Yeah.
So since you have that already in place, it means that you have put the capacity and resources all in place or in consideration already. So the problem with us is that we do not commit ourselves to fulfilling this particular commitment that we say that we are going to deliver upon.
Yeah.
So we are countries that have so many beautiful dreams, but we don't deliver upon them because why? We are good at making them.
Yeah.
But we are weak in delivering. That's our biggest problem. Weak on delivery.
Yeah.
Beautiful ideas, but weak on delivery. And when it comes to housing as well, my suggestion is that do not build houses for people. Because when you go into the informal settlement, you look at the type of cars that people are driving in the informal settlement.
Yeah.
Yeah. The value of those particular cars, the value of the businesses that are there in the informal, that are in the informal, you'll be surprised how people are able to make their way around. Of course, we have those that are actually doing, that are not doing so well. But when you look at the movement of money within the informal settlement,
yeah.
it's there. So what you need to do, give people the land.
Exactly.
Like the apartheid South Africa did when people were moved to Katutura, they were given their houses, and during your municipality services bill, the payment, there's also a segment whereby you pay for the house as well
mm.
until you are able to pay it off. So let them do the same thing as well when it comes to the land. And this is where people are able to build their own land. So then we can start building our own houses.
Exactly. One brick at a time. It won't even take you 2 years before you are paying. You get a loan that you pay for maybe 15 or 20 years. But I can tell you, if you build that house on your own, it won't take you 2-3 years to build it. You know?
It won't, because the expenses of houses is this private developer that are actually building the houses. And inflate what? And inflating what? The prices. Inflating the prices.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because you get your, you ask yourself, NHE, Shared Dwellers, Build Together Federation, they are unable to get the land. But how do body corporates actually get the land? Because if you look at Ochomwise, I was shocked to see how Ochomwise developed so quickly that so many body corporates were built.
Mm.
But when you look at on the other side,
yeah,
people are still living in sheds.
Yeah.
Why? So the most important thing, give people the land, then the people will be able to pay off that particular land,
yeah,
and start building their own houses, because they have the ability.
Yeah.
That's why people move on from one shed, and they only extend it into a bigger one, because that's the only thing that they can have, because they don't have the security of land.
Exactly.
And I see also in Korea, the municipality has given people a certificate that you are recognized as someone who's residing on that particular land, but the land is still not yours. So when you need to extend your shed, you go to them for permission, but you cannot put a fence around it even for safety.
Yeah.
So you have all particular limitations. We understand the servicing of land of Windu because it's mountainous, and the connection point, it is expensive. What some of the ideas that the young people have suggested is that, look, we have a lot of construction companies that are getting tender from government. Let them also volunteer in servicing the land. And then with our people that are unemployed, we'll be able to assist that are sitting at home not doing anything.
Exactly.
So that the price can actually come down.
Mm.
And this particular company, what you do to them, you give them a certificate of recognition that we understand that you participated in this community project of servicing the land. Because of that, you will be considered as a first priority for next government tenders.
Yeah.
Because of this particular contribution. So do you think this private company will not come in as well?
And then the
sewage pipes, the main connection pipes, they can, municipality can do that. But the connection to the main sewer pipe, and the electrical boxes.
Mm.
Our young people that have vocational training that are unemployed can do all this in the bricklayers, the carpenters, the plumbers. They can do this for us, because right now we'll also be making sure, putting money into our community. Money will continue to circle within, because we are now employing our people that are young, that are unemployed.
Yeah.
So the solution is there. There just need to be a deliberate intention from the government and from our local authorities to want to do this. Because one thing I can give you, Mr. Oshaveli, is that there are houses that are built in Oranjemund by the new town council. And why? Because there was also someone within that particular town council, and I can mention his name. He's actually now the new Oranjemund town council, the councillor, Mr. Shaimi. When he was actually working for the town council, he was the patron of the shed dweller.
Yeah.
So he pushed that project to build houses, and the houses were built. Why? Because there was someone within the system who was pushing for their agenda.
Yeah.
So the thing is, we also need to have people that are in the system that are deliberate in pushing this particular agenda.
Exactly.
And that's the
same thing I said yesterday, to say, look, the reason why it doesn't move, because people who have influence don't push the agenda. You know? They are not pushing the agenda. Exactly. Mm.
So, Mr. Oshaveli, there's nothing under the air that we cannot do.
Yeah.
We are limited. We are limiting ourselves. We are limited by those that are in positions to actually make these things going. Because if a body corporate can get land quickly and build tomorrow, why can't also I get the land directly and build my own what? And build my own house? Because we can do this. Because it does not help that we have the constitution that says that I have freedom to have shelter. I have freedom to have dignity, but I cannot have a dignified life, because the access to having the dignified life, it has been cut off by those that are in position to allow me to have a dignified life.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for coming through.
All right.
Yeah. 0833-66-091. Okay. Yeah. What are we talking about? So, yeah, the 191, 191 houses in a year, when the target is 2,000, and the national backlog, remember now the national backlog is about 300,000, and that is not good enough. That's what the minister even saying, not even close, all right? So 600,000 people, 600 plus Namibians, in an informal settlement represent a national emergency. That actually represent a national emergency. And like the previous caller said now, the caller just who actually, it can be done. Eh? It can be done. And the people most in need are the people least likely to benefit from energy current model. Eh? Because all they look at what incentivize, you know, the approach that is actually incentivize sustainability, which is also a good thing. But then, you know, you left the people who need this, who should be benefiting from this, behind. Land availability, which the minister have mentioned and talked about, local authority coordination, and government funding consistency are just as much part of the problem as energy delivery pace. Those are as much as, even probably bigger, you know, than energy. So the government NDP 6 target of 10,000 houses a year are ambitious and probably necessary given the demand, but they will remain just numbers on paper unless deliberate, as he was talking, so deliberate or unless structural barriers are dismantled. We need to dismantle this structural barrier. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Yeah. We are back with the crisis.
No, this one, it needs a good student that they can learn about or figure it out what is really the issue there.
Yeah.
Because people are not addressing the issues. So like now you are saying there is not enough data to say, okay, we need to give about 10,000 houses in a year.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I'm not saying there's not enough data, but I'm kind of questioning how do we
come up with that.
Yeah, we come up with that. But then, yeah, if we know that we don't have money, why would we actually put up that number and then in our budget put up 2,000 and then when we deliver, it's 100 and something. So now you don't know whether, as I said, you don't know whether NRG actually produce, he actually given, they have produced what, they actually provided what they have money for. You understand?
Yeah. but if you look at energy, for example, how it started.
Yeah.
Those houses in, I think that side of Mochipandega, they I don't know whether it's a two-bedroom or one-bedroom house.
What much of them are one-bedroom house?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so those houses, they are cost about, I think it's 100 and something, 180 to 220 somewhere there.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they could start with that one, because the data they have is for the people, the civilian servants, most of these people, they are civilian servants.
Yeah.
They are submitting their house subsidy, you know, and all of that. But the market houses that is available, are not matched with their demand.
Yeah.
So that is where the problem is. So for them now, they're holding that data for themselves instead of discussing with the property developers. Because I listened to Mr. Sangwasa when he was pointed it out about that cheap material thing to say, What you are servicing now, from now on, what you are servicing, the land that you are servicing with the government money, cannot be sold by the property developers. Private property developers. It can sell straight to the people that are in need of land.
Yeah.
You see now how good the election is.
Mm.
So you buy that land for 15,000, and I think if you buy that, if you have 15,000 available to pay to municipality or poor, you already get the land, the title deed that we were discussing yesterday.
Yeah.
Or the land ownership, you have it with your 15,000 or 12,000, whatever you paid it off.
Mm.
So, and then you build up now the house that you need. That is adding value to the land that you are having. So NIG is one to sell the breeding, not the land.
Yeah.
You see now where they are different. You don't know, it's telling you that the house is 150. But you don't know the value of the land.
Okay.
Because I'm demolishing this house to putting up the house of my dream. You understand? Because my children now, I said, okay, we have 200,000 to building up a new house. So let us see, because this is only the way for the state from NIG. But, remember, there are a lot of people that are coming. Police are recruited, those prison wards are recruited, the nurses are coming in.
Yeah.
All those people are coming with the need of houses. So which means the data that are captured by NIG, because these people, they are not submitting their house subsidy with the bank.
Yeah.
Because the bank, they know they are not qualified. Bank, that does what the houses are having, according to the data that is ahead. That was published by FNB.
FNB, yeah.
So, Swag of Moon is about 100, and, I mean, 1.6 or 1.1, and Windhoek is also 1. So, Ongwediba, we are talking about 800, and others talking about 700, something like that.
Yeah.
So, which means most of the people that are coming in, they are just qualified to 300.
Mm.
So, those are now the issue that NIG can entertaining the president and the minister with that data. But them, they are not considered to the cheap houses, which is a lower cost housing.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm.
For them to guarantee these people land, that's what the problem is.
Yeah.
That's why the previous caller said, if you look at what is happening to the apartheid government, when they took those people from the old location.
Yeah.
So they because we have a law that said when you are moving somebody, you must know where you are going to put him.
Mm.
So they putting those people according to their ghettos that they were having. You understand?
Yeah.
So that is what's happening also in South Africa. This is the RPP program. So they go to the informal settlement, they registered those people, and building up those houses, you're starting paying 800 or 600, but never go to 1.2.
Yeah.
So those are now the things that the house crisis can be solving that problem. But another issue that is, I don't see NIG is doing very well, as in the previous caller said. Why they want to compete with these private developers?
Because these
private developers, they are the one that is making these houses very expensive, because they are not the one that are selling houses. These houses are selling by the bank. You understand? They hand these houses to the bank. Eh? And the bank now evaluated my income and my house subsidy, so which is not qualified with their houses.
Mm.
You understand? The crisis that is having.
Yeah.
Because we have a data that we have more than 370 houses in Namibia that are not yet occupied.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm.
So even if you go to Nana Day, you will find it, most of the houses are opening.
Especially the NHG one.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that is what we need. That's what I'm saying. I don't know whether Mr. Shangwasa is also reaching that point of saying, where are we failing in terms of selling houses?
Yeah.
With NHG. Because this is NHG we are talking about.
Mm.
We are not talking about the private thing. That's why I'm saying, if they consider to lend the ownership, that's why I was also complaining about this parliamentarian when they are saying, yeah, we need the land to deliver. Land has there. We understand. But these people, they cannot develop those land because they are not the owner.
The owner.
Of land.
Yeah.
That is where the problem is. That is what it needs. People need to tell the truth here. Because if these people starting to owning the land, the house, the service will start profiting this municipality, village council and all of that, because we are paying the service.
Yeah.
Now we know where we are paying. But you, I cannot pay my $200 where I don't know. I don't have this drum for what?
Mm.
So all those things. These people, they must know that business is when you are investing.
Yeah.
When you are giving a service to somebody, it's where we are value exchange is. So those are the, as I said, NHC must starting thinking about those small houses that they are building in Ongwediva. Because the bigger one, that is, I saw it in Freedom Lane and what other location there. So they are very expensive. The one that is upgraded by Malaysian company. The another one is in Noruno. They are three-bedroom house, which is maybe 500 or 700. I don't know the value of it, but it was like that.
Yeah.
Those one, let us forget about that one now. Let us think about how to giving this land to people with a title deed of... Because Mr. Sangwasa has already indicated that he asking those people, those village council, town council, municipality, that how much are you selling the land after you're servicing it? They say that they are selling $20 to $30 per square meter.
Mm.
You understand? I listened to him very carefully.
Yeah.
But he said when they're selling to the private property developers, the property developers are selling these houses 900. You see now?
Mm.
That is why we are making people suffer.
Yeah.
And we are having less trend because of this. We need everybody. If you look at the succeeded companies that like Henry Ford was saying, he wanted to see everybody owning a car. Eh? It's the same that we want everybody owning a house. So that you can create in Tabas.
Yeah.
You understand? Because not everybody wanted to live in Katutura. No. They want to live in a quiet place.
Yeah.
How can I having those upstairs to go to the location of my dream?
Mm.
It's when I'm selling these houses to somebody who can afford it, and then I top up and go to the next level.
Yeah.
That is what you also even the American houses are doing.
Mm.
The UK flats are doing. But not like Dubai. Dubai, people are already and affording. The ones that are moving to Dubai, they are affording those houses.
Yeah.
But we are talking about like America. People are changing location each and every day. Because according to their affording.
Yeah.
So those are now the things that you need to have something that you can sell. Yeah. But we must also know that most of our people, our citizens believe that land is a property.
Yeah.
A commodity that you can sell. But it's not like that.
Hmm.
It's when you are putting up something. I need to putting up something when the thing is mine.
Yeah.
Okay, mine.
All right.
That is what the people need to know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming through and your contribution as well, yeah?
You're welcome, bro.
Yeah. All right. Our time is about 20 minutes to 10. And we still have 20 minutes to go. So, yeah. 33 years after independence, 6 national development plans, $1 billion in mandates, you know, recapitalizations, funding packages, and 600,000 people of our people are still living in informal settlement as we speak. Okay? The question is not whether we can fix it, we can fix this. The question is whether we have the political will and the institutional courage actually to do it deliberately and not just talk about it at the AGM, you know? Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
I won't take long. Just a few seconds. I'll go out here.
Yeah.
You know, energy is becoming now like is a hyena wearing a skin of sheep.
And you know that, Magne,
yeah.
You know, you mentioned the price of the house there. Yeah. Now, let us compare. Let us just compare a bit. Like the last caller, the one went off now. Let us just assume he doesn't have the house to where he stay. Maybe stay in the ghetto.
Hmm.
Now maybe it's 49 or almost 50 years old, or maybe 40, 58 or years old. Now energy come to build the house. How you will make this single gentleman to own a house? The house might be cheaper, maybe 140 or 150 or even 120, even 100, but that's better.
Yeah.
So how do you now make this? That's what that is what
yeah. Yeah, no, that's why she's saying, you know, the private developers actually inflated the prices, you know?
Yes, there's a problem. Even energy come to tell you, no, the house is 140. My brother, 140 for a small kid.
Yeah.
Who are having 20, 21, 25, 20, 35 years old. What about somebody who already lives in the ghetto for 10 years or 15 years or 20 years? Now, this gentleman is almost going to retirement.
Yeah.
How do you make this gentleman to own a house? That is a problem there.
Yeah.
That is a problem.
Mm.
Yeah, that is a problem. So you need really to look deeper than that. You need to look. You need to accommodate everybody, not only for youngsters who are coming from school. They are educated. What about those who never went to school? But they have a better job, which I can also for him if he pay maybe let me say think of money on a community.
Mm.
Let me say this is all maybe 2,000 per month. This guy is, I think, 25 years old. So if this house is 100,000, this guy can afford to pay this house, which is just paying maybe 500. Because the more years he have, the more priority he have to own this house. Now, me, I'm getting the same salary. But I am almost like to 6 years old. So how do you make for me to own this house?
Yeah. All right, man.
Energy is playing with your mind, my brother. Energy is playing with your mind.
Yeah.
We are really getting a bit tired with that. This company. We should also add what? August 26th.
All right, man. All right. Great. 08-333-66091.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekiro kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana na longe shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anage shifaa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakudo ni randisoma yoe yonge shifaa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omupashi pareki uimopo yomo programa betu. Moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o liari. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. And we have exhausted. I think we have exhausted this one. And we still have about 15 minutes. We can also looking at the other topic. Why the price of oil matter more than you might think? It's actually a story that is actually covered in the BBC. And I think it's actually highlighting certain things that we, given what where we are at this point in time. So the now I want you to think of this when you fill up your car this morning or whenever, maybe you didn't because the tank was getting a bit expensive. So did you think about what happened some 8,000 8,000 kilometers away in the Gulf, in a Persian Gulf? Did you know, you don't think about that. Because here's the thing. A war being fought between the the United States, Israel, and Iran, it's no longer just the news. You know, it's no longer just a news headline. You can scroll past. It's making its way quietly but surely, you know, to your fuel pump. It's actually making its way to your fuel pump, to the truck that delivers your groceries, and to your household budget eventually. So now, let's unpack this. It's what BBC called, this is something that BBC called calling the biggest supply shock in a modern global oil market history. So the biggest shock in a modern global market, or global oil market history. So, but what does that actually mean for us here in Namibia? As I said, it's slowly and quietly, surely, you know, sneaking up into your fuel pump, into your truck that delivers your groceries, and into your budget, into your household budget. So let's unpack this quickly. And so let's look at this and see where we end up. Now, I want to take you a little bit back. So because always the context is very important, you know. Now, for years, tension between the United States and its ally, Israel, and Iran have boiled like a pot on a low flame. Okay, it has been just like, you know, something like kwanyamas. Oh gosh, iron has a long, you know. Now, Iran has long been a thorn, if you like, in the side of the Western powers. So, accused of funding regional militias, if you can, you know, like proxies, they call it proxies, like Hamas, Hezbollah, Houthis, and all that. So, accused of that, and also accused of advancing, you know, a nuclear program and threatening the security architecture of the Middle East. So then the flame was then turned up, okay? It was then turned up. The U.S. and Israel launched now military strikes inside Iran. So Iran struck back, and suddenly one of the most strategically vital waterways on the planet, a narrow stretch of water called the Strait of Hormuz, became a war zone. Then it became a war zone. Now, if the name Strait of Hormuz sound unfamiliar, so don't worry. So let me explain exactly what this little body of water has the entire world holding its breath. So this is a narrow passage, you know, barely 33 kilometers wide at its tightest point. Now, sitting between now Iran on one side and Oman on the other. Now, it is the gateway between the Persian Gulf and the open ocean. Okay? So, and through that narrow gap flows roughly 20 to 31% of all the world's seaborne crude oil every single day. Now, think of it this way. If the Strait of Hormuz, were a pipe, let's say for example it was a pipe, it would be like a pipe that feed a third of the planet's energy supply. You know? And right now, that pipe has been severely strained. Since the war began, maritime traffic through that strait has dropped by 70%, and at least 150 oil tankers, you know, are sitting idle. They are sitting idle, anchored in the open waters of the Gulf, unable to move, unable to deliver. Huh? Iraq, for example, has cut its oil output by by more than 60%. Kuwait and the UAE are also scaling back, you know, in terms of that. And then, as if that was enough, and then you have the Qatar, the world's largest exporter of liquefied natural gas, halted the LNG production entirely, completely, because of the Iranian drone attack, which hit the facilities. So that 20%, that's actually 20% of the world natural gas supply taken off almost overnight, you know? So one energy expert talking to BBC, Hunter Kaufman, Cornfait from the Rabbit Energy Group, called this, and want you to hear this clearly, the biggest supply shock in a modern global oil market history. Not just this year, not just this decade, in all of modern history. So, and we can go back. We can go back. We can look. We can go back. You know, now let me give you some historical weight, because, you know, nothing happened in isolation. So cast your mind back to 1973. The world was different then. But there are lessons we must remember. In October of that year, 1973, Arab member of OPEC, the member of OPEC, the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, announced an oil embargo against countries that supported Israel during the Yom Kippur War. So within months, the price of oil actually quadrupled. You know, quadrupled to three, ne? Yeah, quadrupled. It's four times. Tripled, doubled, tripled, quadrupled. So according now to U.S. Office of the Historian, this event shook the global energy market and reset geopolitical forever. That has reset geopolitical forever. It introduced what we now call the modern energy era. So now, then came 1979. The 1970, the Iranian Revolution disrupted oil production again. American waited in long lines for gasoline, you know, inflation rose, economic stumbled. These two events, the 1973 oil crisis and the 1979 energy crisis, taught the world a painful lesson that when oil flows are disrupted, so when oil flows are disrupted, everyone suffers. That was the lesson. Now, fast forward to 2022, Russia invaded Ukraine. The International Energy Agency called it the first truly global energy crisis. Oil prices spark above $100 per barrel. Countries scramble to find alternatives. And now, here we are in 2026. Facing what experts are calling an ever bigger shock. So this is, to use the words of those who understand the energy markets, apples to oranges. Okay? This is apple to oranges, not apple to apples or orange to orange. So that's how big it is. Now, how big is this really? Now, let's talk the number, because numbers don't lie. I always tell you that. Numbers don't lie. Okay? So what is exactly going on? Now, the BBC report that and other many institutions, I'm following this story, so that the conflict between the United States, Israel, and Iran has blocked ship traffic through the Strait of Hormuz. Now, oil prices shot up to nearly $120 per barrel at one point, even though prices have come down around $85 US dollar, they remain well above pre-war level before the war started. Now, when the war erupted, the Brent crude oil prices shot up to nearly 120 barrel at the, you know. Yeah. So, now, Gosman's sense has estimated that even temporary rise to 100 per barrel could actually knock 0.4 percentage point at the point of global economic growth. That may sound small, but for developing economies like Namibia, it's not a rounding error. So it's going to be really pain. So it's going to be really pain. And analysts are warning, if this conflict isn't resolved soon, if it's not resolved soon, oil could actually hit 150 per barrel, a level the world has never seen. So at that point, economic consequences would not just be uncomfortable. They would be, as one analyst put it, pretty drastic. Now, here's something you need to understand. Now, Iran itself is the fourth largest crude oil producer in OPEC, producing about 3.3 million barrels per day, according to the, you know, Deutsche Welle. You know, the Deutsche Welle. So China buys over 90% of Iran's oil export. So when this war started, it did not just affect one country's supply. It affected everyone who relies on oil moving through that region. So, and the JP Morgan already forecasting visible energy shortages in Asia and in Europe within days. So some government have already announced rationing. You know, university in Bangladesh, for example, have shut early. In the UK, the chancellor is warning of an inflationary shock. So you have and what happened in Namibia? And now the question is, and I know you have been waiting for, why this is our problem too? Why this is our problem? According to Namibia, according to the Ministry of Mines and Energy, our current fuel prices in Wavish Bay stand at around 20 Namibian dollar per liter for petrol. That's already a significant amount for most of households, really. But the Namibian newspaper reported on March the 2nd, and that Namibia faces a potential fuel price hike and supply disruption following the closure of that Strait of Hormuz. Now, let me be direct. So Namibia is structurally exposed. We import almost all of our refined petroleum. So, and here is the detail that should make your eyes actually pop up. According to the Namibian Statistic Agency, in December alone, Namibia imported approximately 1.6 billion worth of petroleum product. Now, who are our top sources? Where do we get our petroleum product? Oman, Bahrain, and Saudi Arabia. And where are these countries? Now, all countries whose export pass directly through that Strait of Hormuz. So do you see the problem? So the arteries through which our fuel travel have been shut down by war. We had Mr. Shehama, the economist here, was actually interviewed, I think, by my colleague David, and the economist Shehama said, put it plainly, any escalation will increase Namibia's fuel import bill, weaken our trade balance, and push inflation through transport and food prices. So if this war continues, according to to our to some of the to economists, Shehama, that is more likely to happen. And my good friend Omuka Kuyahama Tundu, another respected economist, says the dream we were celebrating just some weeks ago, a stronger Namibian dollar, lower oil prices, has now been shattered. That's what he said. It has now been shattered. So now let me add a layer to this that make it even more complicated. Our dollar is pegged one-to-one to the South African rand. Now, that means when global oil prices rise and the rand weakens against the dollar, we take a double hit. Higher prices and weaker currencies. So we have no independent exchange rate mechanism to absorb the shock. So because of our of being pegged to the rand. So our monetary policy follows South Africa's Reserve Bank. So we are essentially a price taker, you know? We are essentially a price taker in a market we do not control. So the Ministry of Industry kept fuel prices unchanged for March, and we appreciate that gesture. So, but analysts note that under recoveries are building up in the pricing model. When those adjustments come, and they will come, they will definitely come, they may come hard and very, very, very fast. So let me ask you this, Namibia. So are we as a country truly prepared for this kind of shock? Do we have enough in our fuel equalization fund? Do we have alternative fuel suppliers lineup? These are not theoretical questions. They are urgent and they need answers. Well, that's all the time we have. Our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of 10. And that's the time for Mbarangaja coming up with Kuthamosha. Make sure that you stay tuned. And that's the time for me to vacate the chair and give it to another capable man, Mbarangaja Okamatikoka Pofi. So for me, Mike Oshaveli, I wish you a very good day ahead. And I'm handing you over to the capital where Tate France will take you on. For me, Mike Oshaveli, say goodbye until tomorrow. Let's do this again. And thank you for those of you who participate and contributed to the show. So let's do this again tomorrow. It's a goodbye.